Joshua 1:5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, a lot of people know this verse, right? I will never leave you nor forsake you. That God has made this promise that He will always be there. But they don't always like to follow up with what's rest of this verse, because this is the beginning of Joshua. Joshua is a pretty good sized book. And if they just finish reading chapter 1, God says, and He's made the same promise to us all, based on the same restrictions to us all. People don't like to use those words, but God is a covenant God, which means there's something that He expects from you and there's something that we expect from us. It's like a contract, okay? It's a deal that we have made. God said, you enter into this deal, you enter into this contract, you enter into this covenant, and I will honor my part, and it is up to you to honor yours. Is that not right? When we enter into an agreement with people, it is necessary for both parties to enter into that agreement and for both parties to agree to do their part. If you read further down in Joshua, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If the word of God, if this law never departs from your lips, before your eyes, if you meditate on this day and night, if you do these things, I will never leave you nor forsake you. They don't like to put those things in there. They just want to make this all-inclusive God that says, I'm going to be there no matter what you go through. And God has made that promise. But He's asked you to keep your part of the promise, and that is that there's some things that God has told you to stay away from in life. And so, not that this lesson is going in that direction, but I'm just saying, for Joshua, he told him, he says, I wouldn't leave you, forsake you, right? You know, I can't imagine what it was like, because it says, as I was with Moses. I can't imagine what it was like to lead the Israelites 40 years through a desert. But I do know what it was like that when I had a family, when I had two kids and people went with us, we had to cart all that stuff down to the beach because there was sand there too, right? And so I'm carting, you're the pack mule, and you're carrying all this stuff down, and the chairs are hitting all over the place, and the two or three coolers that you have are pulling at your shoulder, and you get down there and your wife says, oh, I forgot the sunscreen, right? You know, and so you know what's going to happen. You can argue about it, but you're going to end up being to go get the one to get the sunscreen. Because she'll say, fine, I'll go get it. And you're like, no, we're not going there. So I'll go get the sunscreen. So, you know, it's difficult when you have a lot of people and you're going and trying to do something that is supposed to be fun. These people were going out into the desert in search of their God who they were going to worship in the desert. This was something they wanted to do, okay? I can't imagine what it was like to watch. Now, this is Joshua talking. I can't imagine what it was like for Joshua to watch Moses go through what he went through dealing with the Israelite people. Can you? Nobody knows what it's like dealing with a family. Gosh, when we go to the beach now, she's got the pool bag, I've got the cooler. That's it, man. That is it. That is so nice. We go down there, and you know what we do, what we didn't do when we had the kids? We rent the umbrellas, so we don't even have to carry the chairs. We let somebody else, if the umbrella breaks or the wind gets up, hey man, umbrella over here, this one's broke, you know. It's nice. It's nice. But we have reaped the benefits from the things that people have built on, okay? Joshua did not have to lead those people through the desert, but he watched Moses do this. So why did God tell Joshua this? Why did God find it necessary to tell Joshua that he was going to be with him like he had been with his servant Moses? He was next. And as Joshua was watching Moses, now maybe I'm wrong, but when the father watches the son, they always assume that the father's going to be there. When the siblings watch each other, they always assume that they're going to be there. When you go into work, you always assume your job's going to be there. I would think that when Joshua watched Moses, he kind of thought that Moses was always going to be there, right? Exodus 7:7, and Moses was 80 years old and Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Oh my gosh. I'm looking to retire as early as I can, and I think 62 is early retirement. And the day that I can get out of there, I am. You have to come in on the day you retire. You have to come in for 1 hour. You can better believe it's only going to be 1 hour. I'm out of there. Done. 80 years old. 80 years old when he went to talk to Pharaoh. Not when he was done with leading them through the desert, but when he began this journey. And for 40 years, he led the Israelites through the desert. Now, I don't know how long exactly that it took with Pharaoh, a month, 2 months. I'm sure it tells you, but I wasn't looking for that aspect of it. But let's just say it happened within the year. And so, what is 80 and 40? Yeah, see? He was 120 when he was done leading the people through the desert. And Joshua watched all of this. 100, 101, 102. He had to think that Moses was always going to be there. And that he was always going to be the sidekick. You know, Moses didn't swing a sword when he came to Pharaoh. He carried a staff. And you know, when he went through the desert, he leaned on that staff, man. 100 years old going through the desert, you know, and you have to, you know, the people are wondering, why are we going this way? This looks familiar, you know. Everybody's always got something to say when you're on a trip somewhere, right? Isn't there a better way? Couldn't you, why is this taking so long? Can we stop? I'm tired. Why you want to sleep? We just slept for 8 hours. Why can you be tired? Can we keep, and all this stuff is going on, right? And Moses is, huh? Yeah, yeah, you know, and then Moses is just trudging along on that staff. 100, 101, 105, and this is what he's doing. And here's Joshua watching all this. Joshua's mission when Moses died, his mission was not to lean on that staff. That's what he saw Moses do, was to trudge through that desert. But when it came to Joshua, and Moses, you can go back and look. When God approached Moses in that burning bush, Moses did not feel adequate. He didn't think, I was able to do what was asked of him. Right? But he watched Moses do these things and deliver the children of Israel. Now it came to Joshua. And Joshua wasn't asked to lean on the staff as he saw Moses. He was asked to take up the sword and conquer the nations. Do you think that Joshua thought that he was able to do this? You know, you look at your dad and he's the protector of the family. He's the, you know, he's got all the answers. And if he don't have the answers, your mom's got the answers, right? See, someday somebody's going to look at you for the answers. And right now you may not think that you think, well, gosh, I don't have all the answers, but one day you'll be expected to have all the answers because someone's going to look to you the way that you look toward your mom and dad. Right? And this is Joshua. Joshua was expected. He was always there with Moses, and I'm sure that he did whatever he could for Moses, but now Moses was gone, and Joshua was thrust into it, and he says, you're going to conquer the nations. And Joshua probably thought, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I'm just the sidekick. Joshua's mission when Moses died was not leaning on the staff through the desert, but swinging a sword to fulfill the land promise of God. Now, God told them, made a promise to Abraham, and this is the promise that was fulfilled here. As he told him, he says, every place, now this was Abraham, remember he left his house, and he walked one foot in front of the other, and he got to the land of Canaan, and he says, every place that the sole of your foot touches, every place that you see, look to the east, look to the west, all that you can see will belong to you one day, to your descendants. And you know, a lot of people think that the land promise was never fulfilled, that they're still waiting for God to hold out for these Israelites to fulfill the promise that was made to the fathers. But this was Joshua's mission, was to conquer that land that was told to Abraham that one day this would be given to you. You see how this stuff builds upon one another? Is that the Abraham was faithful when he walked out. Moses was faithful when he went to Pharaoh and walked through the desert. None of this would have been possible for Joshua to go into this land had everybody else not done their job and been ready when God called them. And I want to show you that it's not my interpretation of Scripture, because there is no private interpretation. The land promise was fulfilled. Do not wait for that land promise for the Jews, because it has been fulfilled. If you look in Joshua 21, 43 and 44, you will see that Scripture says it was fulfilled. The heading above it says promise fulfilled. Now, that doesn't make it so, because that's put in there by man. But here are the words. Verse 43, so the Lord, listen, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land which He had sworn to give to their fathers. Abraham was that father. He was the one that He promised that He would give this land to. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land which He had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. Verse 44 says it again. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that He had sworn to their fathers that He would do. Scripture says that that land promise was fulfilled, and there are people out here today waiting for that to happen. There are people out here today preaching that that hasn't happened yet. So they think that this big thing is going to happen over in Israel and that Israel's going to get all this land back. No, they had the land. You know what they did with it? They put up Asherah poles and they worshiped foreign gods, and God brought them into captivity, and now the land has been given as a spiritual promise. Now those Jews were brought in on the day of Pentecost, because that's all that was there. Those Jews were brought in, proselytes were there, it says so, but they were brought into the Jewish religion. All those were brought into that new covenant. So that land promise now, as Abraham, it goes back, and you look in Hebrews, Abraham looked around and thought, wow, this is great that I'm going to get this land, but when I die, what's going to happen then? And he realized that the land promise didn't go past the physical, that it was of no value, because when he died, he didn't inherit. He would never see that physical land. The real promise of the land that God promised was the new heaven and new earth. And it says in Hebrews that he realized that he was a sojourner and pilgrim, and he was looking for that city that God would make. Because when God made a promise, it wasn't tethered by the physical. And God had told Joshua, told Moses, that you will enter into that promised land. And Joshua, and I'm sure that Joshua thought that Moses was going to be the one to lead him in there. Uh-uh. No, wrong. He was the one that was going to lead him in there. And he had to be prepared for this. And God said here in Joshua 21, Scripture says that Joshua fulfilled his mission. Right? And God told him, He says, if you do this, if you keep me before you, you keep the words don't depart from your lips. If the word of the law, He says, these things, if they don't depart from you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Each person who submits to God, and we are covenant people, we have a purpose in each of our generations. Every one of us. You included. This is, look, just because that I am a teacher here does not mean that you don't have a purpose in the covenant that you have submitted to God. Everyone does. Here's the kicker. When is God going to require that you fulfill your purpose? Do you know that even the man, as Jesus gave the parable, that he had all the money, had all the grain and everything, and he looked at all that he had, and he says, I don't even have a basket big enough to hold my possessions. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, and I'll make bigger barns, and I'll have more stuff. And God said to him, He said, you fool. He said, tonight, your soul will be required of you. God requires something from every single one of us that submit to this covenant. Will you be ready when He calls upon you for that? Joshua always thought that he was going to be the sidekick. I mean, I don't have 100% proof of that. But he saw Moses all those years leading him through the desert. And you know, before Moses died, the Lord took him up on the high mountain and He allowed him to look at the promised land. But He wouldn't allow him to enter into that physical promised land because of the sin of striking the rock, which was symbolic of striking Christ, because the Bible says that rock that followed them through the desert was Christ. No one gets past what we did that we shared in the crucifixion of Christ. No one gets past that. We all have to submit to God to get past that. And so, if we are covenant people, and we are, this is called the New Covenant, the New Testament, God requires something from everyone who comes and submits to this covenant. Great or small, makes no difference. The smallest things. Do you know that Jesus told him, he said, if you give a glass of water in my name, he says, you will not lose your salvation. Now, he's not talking about sitting around just handing out water in the name of Jesus. I give you this water in the name of Jesus. Brother, sister, hey, welcome. I give you this water in the name of Jesus. He's talking about a lifestyle that we are. If we're willing to sacrifice and give of what we have and all that we do in the name of Jesus, he said, surely we wouldn't lose our reward. He requires something from all of us. John 14:12, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I will do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Does anybody here think that we would do greater works than Jesus did? I think that just given the multitude of the miracles that he did, obviously no one how could anyone say yes that we would do more? But do you know Jesus' ministry was pretty much situated around the Sea of Galilee? Because of the apostles, because of us, they have gone from the Sea of Galilee to all the lands of Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the world. In that world he was talking about is the Gentile world. And we have brought that into our families. But see, it's much more than that, okay? People spend their life doing something for God. Studying, okay? Learning. And then a disciple comes along. And so these people don't have to spend all this time learning the things that you have already learned. You teach them and you share with them. And guess what happens? By the time they're your age, they'll know more than you do. Why? Because they have built on the knowledge that you have taught them. This is why God requires something from every one of us. Because you pass along to your family, to your brothers and sisters in Christ, you pass along something. It's not just me. It's not just the leaders in the church. Y'all don't get to just sit there, and I'm not saying this in a hateful way, but the congregation doesn't get to just sit there because they will be required of something too. It's not just the leaders. We have all submitted to the covenant. God is requiring something from all of us because it takes all of us to learn and to grow. I could be the greatest teacher in the world, but if I don't have people to teach, what good does it do? You could be the greatest listener. You could be so hungry for God, but if you don't have somebody up there who's willing to take the time to learn and to show and to teach, what good is your commitment to God? You're just sitting here learning nothing. We do this together because we all fulfill the purpose that we have, because we've entered into a covenant with God. Joshua probably woke up in the morning and went to Moses and said, what are we going to do today? You think we'll find the promised land today? Because 40 years they wandered through the desert. Moses said, I don't know. God, I hope so. Right? I hope we find the promised land today. Joshua said, well, whatever. I'll be right there with you. And then one day he woke up and Joshua was required. Okay, here's the promised land. Now you conquer it. Huh? What? You conquer it. Moses brought you here. Now you conquer it. These disciples learn from their teacher and they build on the knowledge, and so it goes. So if you don't share what you've learned with somebody in some way, God, how are you fulfilling what God has required of you? At the very least, you share your faith, right? As a witness, Moses was sharing his commitment to God, to Joshua. And did Joshua see it? He certainly saw Moses. He certainly saw all the things that Moses did. But did Joshua understand that the reason that Moses was sharing this with him, the reason that Joshua saw this, was because one day it was going to be required of him? Maybe not. Hebrews 5:13 through 14, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." This is talking to a Christian. Hebrews was written to the Jewish Christians. So this was talking to Jews who had come out from under the law, had accepted Christ, and they were struggling with growing in Christ, and they were struggling with staying in Christ because they were going back to the law because of the persecution. Hebrews, Jewish Christians. And he's telling them that if you only do the least, if you only listen to someone else teach you and you don't put in the effort, you're not going to grow. And it says that you're a baby and that you are unskilled. Is that the way you want God to see you? Is that the way you want to be unprepared when you're required to be the man of the house, to be the woman of the house? Is that the way you want to be when you're called on to be prepared? No, you don't. Nobody wants to be that way. You don't plan to fail, you fail to plan. We have to realize that the people that are around us, the people that teach us, the people that show us, they're showing us for a reason, so that we can learn and build on what they've shown us so that we can show others. They showed us. Why would we not be expected to show others? They were kind to us. Why would we not be expected to be kind to others? They were strong when we were weak. Why would we not expect to be strong when we see someone else weak? These are the examples and the things that we've learned. Verse 14, this tells us that this is not talking about that somebody's been in the church. You know, well, I've been in the church for 30 years. This tells us right here that, you know, that's not proof of salvation. That's not proof of growth. Verse 14 says this, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age." That is, he's telling you, it's not the age of, you know, 50, 60, 70. It says those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We take what we learn here, right? From children's church up to here. In children's church, you're taught about Jesus. You're taught about how to be saved. When you're here, when you accept those principles and you move on, what is required of you is for you to act like a Christian. And you say, well, I don't know how to act like a Christian. And God says, I know you don't. I will show you. But you have to exercise these things. You have to grow into these things. All that time that Joshua, he should have been preparing himself. But Joshua was. He wasn't an idiot. He said down at the end, he said, You decide whether if it's good to serve the Lord or to serve man. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he said that I saw Moses. God has made this commitment. You do what you want. Follow me or don't follow me, but I will serve the Lord. It's important for the message to be challenging so we can grow. I know that sometimes I teach things that are hard to understand. Why would I do something like that? Am I to think that I'm the only one that can see deep things of God? Of course not. Am I to think that I'm the only one that can understand how God puts things together? No. But my job as a teacher is to teach. You ever seen your kids come home and say, "This is insane. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this." And you know what? When you bring it to the parent, you know what they say? "Well, I don't know how to do this either." Thank God we have Google now where we can look it up on the phone. But see, our parents, what did they have to go to the library? I didn't see my dad bring home any encyclopedia. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Because they didn't have the answers. The message has to be challenging or else we will not grow. Even the church said this. If you go, I can't remember where it is. I'll find it for you. But it says that some of Paul's writings, which are hard to understand, that untaught and unstable people twist to their own pleasures, in which some things are hard to understand, as is the rest of the Scriptures, as is some of the Scriptures, which Paul's writings are called Scriptures then, okay? Not just Paul's writing, some man. It was called Scripture. But some of them are hard to understand. And so, guess what you have to do? The reason that they're hard to understand is because God wants you to grow. And so what happens is that He wants you to grow because one day, something will be required of you. And He wants you to be ready. God wants you to be prepared. Why? Because He loves you. He wants you to be strong. He doesn't want you to be weak. He doesn't want you to be pushed around. He doesn't want someone to bring you back into captivity. It can happen. Scripture says that those once who had escaped this world fell back to the world because they cared about things of the world more than they cared about the things of God. And what he's telling you there is that you put your efforts into the world and you didn't put your efforts into God's work. We all have the same amount of time during the day. It's funny, I don't care. We all have the same amount of time during the day. It's what we do with that time. Now, God knows we take care of our family. He didn't tell you to dismiss your family. I think the last sermon I did about that was about that. God doesn't want you to abandon your family, but He wants you to spend time in His work because He will require it of you one day, right? So it's important for the message to be challenging because we want to grow. We don't want to stay where we're at. And I'm told here that if I only teach milk, Jesus loves you, and just teach that Jesus died for your sins, and Jesus, woo, glory to the name of Jesus. Oh, that name. Just to hear that name. And everybody gets all excited, right? Because we're talking about Jesus, talking about our Savior. But I don't get into any real meat. That you know God has a purpose and a plan and a position for the man and the woman in the house. And when the woman or the man, either one, gets out of that position, or you allow the kids to rule in the house, right? That's why they got to tell you no sometimes. God says you can't let that happen, right? It's not what you want, it's what they want. One day you'll be on the other side, but that's good, right? And so you'll be able to say no. You'll say, no, you're not doing that. Yep. But God has told us this. Well, that's not popular today. I mean, we say that the woman has a place, and God, we can't say that, but so does the man have a place. The man has a place too. And if he doesn't stay in his place, and she doesn't stay in her place, and the child doesn't stay in her place, that whole house is not honoring God. And they're not going to be prepared when God requires them to stand before Him and say, you were the man of the house. These are the things that I required. Why didn't you teach your family? You were the woman of the house. Why did you not teach your children? Why did you not love your man? And when the children, God looks at the children as they grow up, because it says that when we give our parents a hard time as a kid, some of that makes it harder when we're adults. And He's going to ask you, why didn't you obey your parents? Do you see? God requires something of all of us. He even required it of His Son. Do you know that Jesus, after He died and He raised, one of the reasons why He had to ascend into heaven was because He had to go into that tabernacle in heaven and He had to present that blood. He had to show God that He did what was required of Him. Now that was His choice, the same as it's all of our choices, but He had to present that blood to say, see, I was faithful. Nobody gets away and Joshua, he was prepared. But I'm saying, when you read Moses and you read about Joshua, how do you think Joshua looked at Moses after all those years? Do you think that Joshua thought that he'd always be there? And then one day, maybe Joshua saw something. Maybe he saw Moses stumble, right? Maybe he saw Moses struggle with putting something together that he used to be able to fire off just like that. And Joshua probably realized that, you know, I might have to do a little bit more here. Right? I might have to step up. Joshua probably always thought that Moses would be there and that he would always be his sidekick, but one day he wasn't. And look what was required of him by God. It was required of him to bring that Jewish nation to conquer that land of Canaan and establish that Jewish nation. Now, we just read from Joshua 21 that he did do that. But at that time, man, he probably thought, how am I going to do this? Same way Moses probably thought. And God said, I am with you. I am with you because you honor this covenant. You're scared. You don't know. But you're willing to stand up. And because you're willing to do this, I will be there. And I will show you the way. Remember what Jesus said? I'm going away, but I'm not going someplace you don't know because you know the way to get to me. I will not abandon you and leave you as orphans. Actually, I think I have that scripture. Maybe, I don't know. Even greater than that, like Jesus said, look at what Joshua made possible for us. He established the Jewish nation from which the seed of Christ came, and we were offered forgiveness. If Joshua hadn't established that Jewish nation, could Jesus have come from the Jewish nation? Wouldn't have been a nation for him to come from. He would have just been one man that rose up out of a sea of people and said, I am from the God. And they're like, well, there's plenty of gods. Which God were you from? But see, because Joshua established that nation, because he obeyed that covenant, because he established himself, okay? We know that Jesus came from that God. The God that brought Pharaoh to his knees. The God that parted the waters. The God that brought the pillars of fire. We know that Jesus came from that God. And all the things that were done in history by the Jewish nation, we know that God, Jesus came from that God. Because Joshua stepped up. Joshua conquered the land of Canaan. And I guarantee you he didn't think that he was able to. God will not require something of you that you are not able to do. The problem is that you aren't prepared for it. I have to be prepared up here. I can't just fake it. But I have. I've put together simple lessons because I've not been diligent during the week to meditate and do the things that I was supposed to do. And as I bring myself before God, as I examine myself before God, I realize that I fell asleep. My mind got carried away. This is not the person that I want to be. And sometimes you get so far down the road, you don't even know how to get back. And you know what? You haven't even done anything. You really haven't done anything wrong. You just haven't done the preparation that God is expecting of you. And so you have to start from where you're at. And because you put yourself in this situation, you have to make this trek back. But God has told us, you put this covenant ever before you, and I will be with you. And so the times that we don't put the covenant before us, we haven't walked away from the covenant. There's a big difference. But God says, you bring some of this stuff upon yourself. If you are not prepared for what tomorrow brings, whose fault is that, yours or God's? It is. It is ours. We don't have control over the world, but we have control over the things that God has asked us to have control over. Did someone come into your house and not make you study last night? Did someone come into your house and not make you pray last night? Did someone come into your house and tell you that you can't take just 1 minute out of your busy day to close your eyes and just thank God that He's given you a chance? and you don't know how to get out of this mess that's around you, and you feel like you're drowning, but you know that you are not. And even if I am to drown today, I will give you the glory. And I will go down praising your name. And you think, well, nobody does that. Job did. Job lost everything in his life, and he gave God the glory. He said, I deserve what has come upon me. That which I have feared has come upon me. John 14, 16 through 18, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Do you know what? This is exactly what he told Joshua. He says, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you as an orphan. I will be with you. And just as Moses stood in the face of the king of the world, and Pharaoh certainly was in that day, and he trekked at 80 years old, he started a walk through the desert that lasted 40 years. And he brought them right to the door of the promised land, and Joshua carried them into that promised land. These people did the things that was required of God because they prepared. And when they didn't prepare, they were willing to accept the consequences and start from that and move forward. I haven't mowed the yard in a little while. Guess what? It's tall. You know what happens when it gets tall? Then it makes a mess when I mow. And so I got to go back and I got to rake up and clean up a little bit so it looks presentable. That's my fault. I have to accept the consequences of sitting there watching the grass grow. I've been busy. She knows that I've been busy. But she also knows that I hate to mow the yard. And if there's anything I can get out of, that is one of them, right? I'll do it tomorrow. Nothing I have to do today, and it gives me something to do tomorrow. See? It's great. Tomorrow. Is it? Oh, yeah, yeah. We have to be willing to accept the consequences of our actions. And we have to realize that God has told us to prepare. Because the reason He's told you to prepare is one day He's going to require something of you. Right? We don't stay kids forever. Right? And even at some point, as we grow, we have to rely on other people. Right now, we probably don't, but at some point in our life, we do. There's times that we need help as an adult. That's not easy to ask for. And there's times that we cannot make it alone. And God has said, if you prepare for these times, if you will prepare. Joshua had to prepare what was required of him. He didn't get no second chance. He didn't say, okay, I'll give Moses a little bit longer. I'll let him do the first battle. I'll let Moses do the first battle. No, Joshua was expected to do it. This is exactly the same thing that was told to Joshua. So, you have to ask yourself, will you walk through a desert leaning on a staff? Will you swing your sword wearing the armor of God? Or will you build a church based on the apostles' doctrine? It's not easy to hold on to this word. Do you understand? It's not easy to let this word be your guide. Do you know what this word calls? Jesus said, don't think that I came to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. Those that will serve God and those that will not serve God. We base this body on this word, not on man's thoughts, not even what we think is right. Because one day, God will ask me, why did you not tell them the truth? And one day, God will ask you, why did you not listen to the truth? If I don't tell you the truth, I'm punished for that. But that's not an excuse for you. And if I tell you the truth and you don't listen to it, I'm not punished for that. That's not an excuse for you that you have a hard life. God has put all of these things before us. Do you think that the people who have easy lives, that it's easier for them to serve God than it is when we have a hard life? Let me tell you something. It is never easy to not do what you want to do. Never. And I'm probably the world's worst with that. Because when it comes to something I don't want to do, I loathe it. I'm telling you, I just despise having to do something that I don't want to do. But one of the hardest things that I have to do is keep my mind focused on this word. And I'm being trained every day. I'm being trained every day, and so are you. We have to build our faith and our salvation upon the apostles' doctrine. And at the time that he told on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of his Holy Spirit. What was the question that was asked when he said that? What shall we do? And the Bible tells us that if we want to become part of the church, those who gladly accepted Peter's words, and that gospel message has not changed, those who gladly accepted Peter's words were baptized that day, and 3,000 souls were added to them. Added to who? To the church. That's our mission, is to stick with the apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread, the prayers, and this is what Acts 2:42, this is what makes the church. And our job as Christians is to hold on to that so that we can continue to hold on to this congregation. Because if we ever get away from that, God will require us to answer for it. What made you decide that it wasn't necessary to be baptized? What made you think that it was not necessary to have this communion table present? Huh? What made you think that it wasn't important enough to pray for one another? Why would you stop praying? God is going to ask you these things. You say you belong to the church, you've entered into this covenant, and these are the least things that we could do, is to hold on to this covenant in the way that he told us. We do that and it prepares us for the next day. That's the way God worked it out. God requires. God loves. God shares. God requires. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?